Back to My Garden, Episode 9.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
Attention, garden lovers. Do you want to save time, save money, and have your most amazing garden ever? Receive free tips, strategies, and gardening techniques from expert gardeners from around the world. Join the VIP club for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/VIP. This episode of Back to My Garden brought to you by Coffee Royalty. Is it really possible to lose 5, 10, even 20 pounds or more just by changing your coffee or tea? Find out more today at www.coffeeroyalty.com. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux. Welcome to another edition of Back to My Garden. The aquaponic episode, totally unique. We're going into brand new territory today, and I'm so excited to have literally one of the leading edges, leading minds, thought leaders in the aquaponics movement. He's a third-generation farmer. He has a passion for researching and testing the absolute cutting edge of innovation. He's the driving force behind Endless Food Systems. His company has been seen on National Geographic, on Fox Business. He has literally just returned from leading mission trips to Central America to teach communities about aquaponics. His big message today, if enough people learn about this technique, it will end world hunger. I'd like to welcome to the show from Phoenix, Arizona, Mr. Chad Huspeth. Chad, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave, for having me on the show.
I know it's bright and early over there, and you might even have a bit of jet lag. Can you just take a minute and share with our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, yes, sir. I grew up on a dairy farm, and so honestly, I guess gardening was just part of life. You know, we grew a lot of our own foods and lived a long ways from any stores, so we really had to grow a lot of food. But, you know, growing up, I didn't really consider gardening a passion or anything like that. I guess it was after I was out of college and realized, as I kind of looked around at the way things were going in America and the quality of the food, you know, that we get in the stores, it's just not it's not what it is if you grow it yourself. And so I guess I had a re-spark of interest in gardening and growing our own food, and came across aquaponics and just completely revolutionized my thinking. I was very, very excited about it, couldn't wait to jump in, and so that's what I've really been focused on for about the past 4 or 5 years.
Fantastic. Like the same length of time as going to university or college, right?
Do what now?
It's the same length of time as if you had gone to university or college.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you could say that. And it is. It's an education, you know. You try something and it didn't work, and then you try something else and that did work. It's a lot of trial and error, I guess.
Now, help me, because I'm definitely a rookie when it comes to aquaponics. The way I tell people, I've been bragging about you all week. I said, I'm interviewing aquaponics, and they said, what's that? I said, think of it as a fish-powered garden. How do you describe aquaponics?
Yeah, that's exactly perfect, because so many people get aquaponics confused with hydroponics. And although it's similar, it's very different. You know, in hydroponics, you're growing vegetables without soil. But the problem with hydroponics is that, about a weekly basis, you have to exchange your water, and you have to add a lot of things to it to feed the plants. I feel like that aquaponics, which is where we use the fish to feed the plants, is a lot more sustainable, because we're not having to add really any chemicals into the system, and we don't have to exchange the water. It's truly a natural ecosystem, whereas the fish are providing the waste for the plants. There's actually bacteria in the system that grow and convert that fish waste over into a plant food, and so the actual process takes about 6 weeks. But what we wind up with is a situation where the fish provide the food for the bacteria provide the food for the plants use that up and purify the water again for the fish. So we never have to exchange the water, and it will run perpetually.
Now, for those of you who are driving in your cars or jogging, listening to your iPod with your earbuds in, when you get near a computer, I want you to head over to Chad's main web hub, his blog, all the photos. It's at www.endlessfoodsystems.com. And I have to say that's one of the most brilliant website URLs. The name describes it all, endlessfoodsystems.com. And if you're a DIY do-it-yourselfer, I'd refer you to Chad's site where he has a digital handbook on how you can get started on aquaponics. And for those of you who are not DIY types, Chad, can you talk to us? Like, how did you get into this? This isn't just something you woke up one morning and said, I think I'm going to grow a fish-powered garden.
No, it wasn't. And in fact, it was at Christmas time, I don't know, 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago now, I was at my dad's house in Texas, and he was telling me about a guy he had heard of, a missionary, that had been figured out a way to grow perpetual food for people over in Africa and different places. And he happened to have a kind of a home base in Dallas. And we got real excited about it. It's like, what is this thing? I'd like to go see it. And so we wound up driving down to Dallas. We called this guy and went over and we saw his system. And it just totally blew me away. I couldn't believe that you could do all of this in such a compact little area. And we spent the whole afternoon with him, and I've since developed a relationship with him. In fact, he's one of our main dealers in the Dallas area now that resells our kits, our modular kits. But he's really spent, John Musser's his name, with aquaponicsandearth.org, and he's spent a lot of time and years going to the mission fields and places like Africa and helping those villages come up with ways of growing their own food. And I wouldn't say that he pioneered, you know, aquaponics. It's actually been around probably for thousands of years. But he is definitely one of the main forefront guys that figured out kind of how to do it in a backyard type of setting, to where we control those fish and we control that waste and send it into, you know, grow beds and figuring out the right type of gravel to use and things like that to make the whole system work. So I would say that he was probably played a big part in me getting excited and interested in this. And so I immediately came back out to Phoenix and started building systems. I built a bunch of different type of systems and toyed with them and tweaked on them, and really didn't have in mind at all to you know, become a manufacturer or to do anything like that. I just wanted to figure it out and grow it for my own family. But then, I guess through the process, I learned about other people. There's a guy in Australia named Murray Hollam, and he has got some fantastic information on his website and has been building systems in Australia for a number of years. And so I learned a whole lot from Murray. Got a chance to actually meet him. We went down to the Aquaponics Associational meeting. They have an annual meeting every year. The very first meeting they had was, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago now, back in Florida. And so we went over there and got to meet Murray and some of the other movers and shakers, and spent some time, you know, learning all about what he was doing. And so I brought that knowledge back and applied some things I had learned, and just kind of developed into, you know, what we have today, which is a kind of a hybrid system. So we take our water from the fish tank and we pump it through a gravel filtration bed, and that's where the bacteria are converting that fish waste over into plant food. And then we take it a step further, and we actually take that water that's been filtered and we send it through a raft bed. And this is just a raft, styrofoam raft that floats on top of the water. And we send that nutrient-rich water through that raft bed, and then we return it back to a low point where the pump, water pumps at, and we start the process over again. So that's kind of how our system operates and gets going.
We take so much for granted in North America. You know, food just comes from that magic place where we drive to park and it has everything frozen and fresh, and we cash out and pay our money. but you've just come back from Ecuador. Can you share with our listeners what's been the reaction or the reception to aquaponics in Central America?
Well, you know, it has different applications for different parts of the world. And, you know, I would say that in America or in wealthier countries, really the cost of food is not that big of an issue. You know, for most people, the percentage of their income that they spend on food is not very much, less than 10% probably. But in countries like Ecuador or even poorer countries like Uganda, you know, a large portion of their income goes just to food, just to survive. And so this type of technology, you know, being able to go in and really what I was about on this trip, we were focused on teaching the people there how to build these things. In fact, I got them all together as a group of about 20 different pastors from different churches, and it was mostly people, local people from there. There was only a small group of us that flew down there. But the whole point and what I gathered them together was to teach them how to reproduce these things. You know, I told them if I'm the only guy going down here and building these things, then it's not going to spread very fast or very far. You know, we need to all work together. We need to build our knowledge together. We need to share it with everybody we can. And that way, you know, in a couple of years, maybe there'll be hundreds of systems across Ecuador, and we can feed lots and lots and lots of people.
Wow. See, this is fantastic, because you started off, I'm going to be an aquaponics gardener. Then your entrepreneurial streak kicked in, and now you have communities, and you're connecting with the movers and the shakers, and now you have visions for countries. You're an unique individual, aren't you?
It's fun. I mean, you know, and I've never sat down and decided that this is what I was going to do. It just kind of happened. And doors continue to open. You know, one of the guys that came up in Ecuador, we were in Quito, or just actually outside of Quito, Ecuador, and we had a pastor drive up from Peru, which is a pretty long distance. So he brought his whole family up just to learn about aquaponics. He was so excited about it. And after we built it's a pretty good sized system. We built this system, and we got together at the end last day, and he came to me. He's like, you know, I'm going back to Peru, and he said, I really want to, you know, involve as many high officials as possible. And in fact, if I could get the ear of the president, I would love to do that. And so actually, I think we're going to plan another trip probably in February to go to Peru and help this guy refine what he's got, or, you know, grow it a little bit bigger. So it'd be fantastic if Peru could come in there too and have systems spread all over the country.
You know, Chad, a lot of our listeners, they know people that would love to get into this, but fear, doubt, and trepidation make them hesitate. Can you share a story maybe from 5 years ago when you got started? I call it the catastrophic failure. Do you have anything humorous where things didn't go quite perfect?
Oh, yeah. I had a raft bed, and I was still experimenting. Well, I still am today, but back then I had a couple of cantaloupe plants, and they were doing so good. They were just lush and green, and they were covering the entire bed, and I had these little small cantaloupes that were probably about 5 inches in diameter. They were getting close. You know, they were just a few weeks away from being able to eat. And I went out one morning, and I noticed there was a few little aphids on one of the leaves. And I was in a hurry that day. I don't know what was going on, but I didn't stop and take care of it. And about 3 days later, when I finally decided to do something about it, I realized as I start picking up the leaves and looking on the underside that it's just covered up with aphids. And so within, I put on some organic controls and did everything I knew to do at the time, and it was too late. And it was so heartbreaking, you know, to have, I don't know, I probably had 12 or 15 of these cantaloupe that were just so close, and they all died before they went to maturity, and it was very sad.
Yeah, being a rookie gardener, I'm in my third season. I still fight the emotional attachment to my crop.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I tell you what, when you see those bugs, you've got to react. You have to do something right away. They'll get you.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the eating side of the equation? In my head, I picture all the fish, the garden. What are we talking about when it comes to actually putting food on the table from one of these typical setups? So maybe talk a little bit about sizes as well.
Okay. Well, there's, you know, with aquaponics, we have a lot of differences with that versus soil gardening. And, you know, why would you want to do aquaponics over a soil garden? Well, there's times when it's very advantageous, and then there's other times where maybe it's not advantageous at all. You know, if a person has rich soil, water is not an issue, and they have lots of land, then a soil garden is great, you know, but for a situation where maybe the soil is not good, you know, in Peru, northern Peru, it's just this sand. It's like a very fine sand, and it just hardly any nutrition in it. It's hard to grow in it. Other places, even like in the inner cities and stuff, it's all concrete. There is no soil. And so there's advantages to aquaponics in the fact that it doesn't use soil at all. We use actually gravel as our medium. And then water is a big deal. You know, there again, if a person lives in a place where they get lots of rain and water is not an issue, then it may not be an advantage. But for places like where we were at in Ecuador, those people there, they draw water out of about a 35-foot deep well with a bucket. And so water is very labor intensive. You know, to get enough water to grow a crop would be a lot of work, a whole lot of work. And so what we did is to do the initial fill of the system, this was a pretty large system that was built down there. It was 1,200, we had two 600-gallon fish tanks, so the total water in the whole system was about 3,000 gallons. And so we actually paid for a water truck to come and fill it up initially. And then to keep it topped off, it's going to take about 5 to 8 5-gallon buckets a day. Well, that's a lot more doable than trying to irrigate an entire garden. Because in aquaponics, we have a lot less water loss. We continue to recirculate the water in the system. So the only water we lose is to evaporation. With that, we can calculate that an aquaponic system uses about 90 to 95% less water than a traditional garden because you're, you know, in a soil garden, your water goes right past the roots and back down to the water table via gravity. So in a closed loop system like an aquaponics, we're very water conservative, and we don't really care about the soil conditions because we're not growing in the soil. As far as food production goes, if your system's well managed your pH is decent, and there's a lot of factors involved. It's really not that hard, though. But if your system is running where it should be, you can generally plan for at least 5 times, if not, you know, I've seen as high as probably 10 times the production per square foot of what a dirt garden will do. And I think part of the reason for that is because the plants are continuously watered. You know, they drink when they want to. It's always there. The water's carrying the nutrition, and so they're constantly being nourished, and the plants just grow a lot faster in this type of setup. And anybody that's done hydroponic growing can attest to, you know, that plants generally grow a lot faster than in the soil. So you get a lot more production per square foot. It's water, you know, conservative. It doesn't care about soil conditions. I guess the negative factors would be that it does use a small amount of electricity. We have to run a water pump, and in some situations we also need an air pump. So, but it is a small amount of power, and it can be ran off of solar panels if a person wanted to do it that way. But as far as food production goes, it's pretty good. You know, a area, say, 12 feet by 20 feet is enough space to provide enough vegetables for usually a family of about 3. And that may not be, you know, it'd be tough to say that space would you know, provide all the food of 2 to 3 people, but it would certainly take the place of most all of the vegetables. And on that topic, you know, a lot of people look at aquaponics and they look at the fish and they're like, oh, I'm gonna throw a lot of fish. Well, actually, the fish are the engine that just are producing the waste matter for the plants. And so what we actually wind up with is about 10 to 12 times the vegetable production that we get versus the fish production. So, for example, for every 1 pound of fish that I grow, I'm going to get 10 to 12 pounds of vegetables.
1 pound of fish is 10 pounds of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, well, 16 ounces. Now, there'll be some cleaning, too, but that's enough protein for the average human for a day.
Right. And in our systems, you know, a 300-gallon tank is kind of the average size tank that a lot of people go with. And in a 300-gallon tank, you can grow out between 40 to 70 fish per year that'll grow from, you know, maybe up to one pound. So you're going to, a 300-gallon tank is going to produce, you know, 40 to 70, 75 pounds of actual fish. Now, that's not meat on your table. That's the whole fish. Right. So if you take a 1 pound fish, you know, you're going to get maybe a third pound of fillets off of that.
Okay. What struck me when you were speaking, it's extraordinary the water savings. And there's like a water crisis in big pieces of America, isn't there?
There is. There absolutely is. Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, we've gotten a lot of inquiries lately from people in California because I think they've really cracked down and they've got restrictions on a lot of people in places in California. And so we've gotten a lot of phone calls from folks out there that are wanting to start growing this away because it just takes so much less water.
So would you say right now the conversation is increasing around aquaponics? It's a growth business?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It absolutely is. You know, here in the Phoenix area, I would say it's hard to put your thumb on something like this, but I would say in the last 2 years that we've probably, oh gosh, I'd say we get probably 10 times the number of phone calls and things that we did, you know, 2 years ago. So it's definitely booming with interest.
You're super busy. You're an entrepreneur. You're now traveling and doing missions in Central America. Time is super valuable for you. Can you describe for our listeners what your own personal garden looks like this season?
Well, let's see. It's getting up into the middle. I know this may air a little later, but right now it's coming into August, and so we are coming into that real hot time of the year. Right now, things look really good. My cucumbers are just massive and growing like crazy. I've got, now I've always got basil. Basil's always, I've always got 4 or 5 kinds of it. So always got that around. Chives, same way. I left some onions in there. I just pulled all my onions out about, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I had tons of those and I kind of left them in there too long, but, I wasn't ready to eat them yet. So we got those out. Right now, let's see, it's mostly beans. I've got a lot of different kinds of beans growing in there, squash, watermelon, cucumbers, cantaloupe, of course. I like melons, and this is the season, you know, when it's hot. It's the time to grow all kinds of Israel melon and different things like that. Butternut squash, I really like that one. That's the one that I hadn't really tried until probably last year. I grew some butternut squash, and it turned out really, really good. And it, the right kind, the kind we grew, you bake it in the oven just like a sweet potato, and it tastes just like a sweet potato. It's really good.
Excellent. Good, good. Now, when you say really hot, we have a global audience. What's really hot like?
Oh, 113 for 110 to 117 will be our daytime highs.
Right. For metric system, that's 38 to 40 Celsius. That's rough on the plants, isn't it?
It is. And you can't grow in Phoenix without some shade. So I put on a 70% shade cloth come about the end of March, mid-April. I'll put on a 70% shade cloth, and I'll leave that on until about October. And we get so much sun here, it's very rarely a cloudy day, and so we get plenty of sun, but it prevents the sun from just scorching the plants. And we'll get good growth normally up until August, and then the month of August, things will slow down and stop growing. And then generally September, when the nighttime temperatures begin to dip back in the 90s again, then we'll get good growth again.
Is there anything that you aren't growing now that you've considered or toyed with experimenting with next year?
Well, anybody that researches aquaponics is going to find out that potatoes don't grow very well. And I tried them again this last year, and they always come out the same way. I don't know for sure why, because I have success with other root crops. But what I'm doing now, we've kind of developed a wicking bed that ties into our system. So if a person wants to grow potatoes, any type of potatoes, they can grow them in their wicking bed. And it basically just feeds off the system. So the nutrient-rich water is flowing to the wicking bed, but it doesn't flow back. It's got a check valve on it, so it's a one-way setup.
For those of you who are listening, you have to go to Chad's website, endlessfoodsystems.com. It's all laid out there graphically, visually explained. If you're a DIY guy, that's the perfect starting point for you. The kits are orderable. I mean, it is. He's literally created a one-stop resource. That's where you start if you want to get into aquaponics. I want to ask you some questions here, Chad. We call it five quick questions. This is where you get to drop wisdom for maybe the more novice gardener, somebody just dipping their toe into aquaponics. Are you ready to play?
Sure.
All right. Question number one. What do you think stops most interested people from starting aquaponics?
Oh, I think it's definitely a fear of the unknown, just not knowing, you know, it looks complicated. And so a lot of people, I think, step back from it because they feel like it might be too complex for them to do. And honestly, you can overcomplicate it if you want to. But honestly, it's really not hard. You feed your fish and you watch your pH level, and that's pretty much the bare bones of it right there.
This is not one of the quick questions. This is a bonus. What's your favorite fish to grow in your own personal setup?
Oh, definitely. Hands down, it's tilapia. Tilapia are a very fast-growing fish. They're going to go from a fingerling to a pound in 9 to 12 months, so they're a fast grower. And they're very, very tough. They don't hardly get any kind of diseases or any problems.
I know what tilapia costs when I go to the restaurant. That's one of my favorite eating fish. Imagine having 40, 50, 60 tilapia in your backyard. I can see the appeal instantly why people get addicted to aquaponics.
It is. It is a little bit addictive because, you know, there's... You go out after a long day at work and you go into your greenhouse or wherever you've got your system set up, and it's just that, you know, the water's flowing and kind of like a fountain going, and it's all green and lush, and you're finding new stuff in there. Oh, wow, didn't realize that cucumber was already ready to pick, you know. So it's fun. It's exciting.
Question number two, you've been around fish-powered gardens now going on 5-6 years, and you've met most of the movers and shakers and become one. What is the single best piece of advice you've ever received?
Oh, for aquaponics, I would think that really it's iron. You've got to have iron in the system. If that's one of the very few things that you do have to add to the system, because over time it will become deficient in iron. And it's easy to tell because the plants will turn a pale yellow. And so, visually when there's an issue with iron. And so you've got to add iron to the system. And that's definitely, you know, probably one of the best pieces of advice that I came across.
Brilliant. Question number three, we have eager listeners. They say, I'm going to do my research on aquaponics. If you had just two websites to share other than endlessfoodsystems.com, what would they be?
Definitely would be Murray Hallam. I think it's practicalaquaponics.au is his website. He's out of Australia, and he's got a blog as well, tons and tons of great information. And then another one that is just fabulous is called Aquaponics Nation, and I believe that's a blog, and they've got tons and tons of great information on Aquaponics Nation.
Fantastic. I love how giving you are. I mean, you're an entrepreneur, you're in business, and boom, it's such a support. You have your own association now just for aquaponics farmers?
An associate. Well, I mean, you know, we have our customer, anybody that's bought any of our products, they get access to like a members area. And we're working on that, on kind of creating that into a community. So I'd love to see that, you know, grow and get a little bigger.
Nice. Question number four. I'm just getting into aquaponics. It's my beginning. What's the single most important book that I need to read?
I tell you what, there's a lady named Sylvia Bernstein, and she has a book called Aquaponic Gardening. And that is a fantastic book. It covers all of the basics of the different types of systems that you can build. It was written about 3 or 4 years ago, but it's a fantastic foundational book for people to get started.
Brilliant. And finally, number five, Chad, what's the number one thing that you think every gardener should try to grow next year in their garden?
Well, it's probably just because I like them so much. The Super Sweet 100 tomatoes are fabulous. If you've not had a Super Sweet 100, you need to find some of those. Those are the sweetest little cherry tomatoes ever. And if I've got some of those ripe and ready and people come to my greenhouse, hands down, I'll hand them one of those. And a lot of times people will say, well, I don't like tomatoes. I say, well, you need to eat one of these. You'll change your mind. And they do. They are so good, so sweet.
They're indeterminates, right? They grow pretty tall.
Yeah, they do. And they'll last a long time. You know, they'll last probably a year or better. Now, that's one of the things in aquaponics. You can't let your plants get too large and long term, because the root system will take over the whole bed. But you can leave them in there for a year or so.
Absolutely brilliant. Wow. Our half hour has just flown by, Chad. I want everyone listening, please go to Chad's site at www.endlessfoodsystems.com. Please share his contributions on social media. His Twitter is at @endlessfoodsyst, Endless Food Syst. He's got an incredible resource site there. Start there. Encourage and share the message of aquaponics with your friends and other gardeners, because, as you have heard, it is a movement. And the big message and the takeaway is, if enough people learn how to do this technique, it'll end world hunger. Chad, you've been so generous with your time. I'd like to give you the last word today. Do you have a note of encouragement or a pearl of wisdom that you can share with our listeners?
You know, I would just say for anybody out there that's considered this, or maybe it's brand new to you, I would encourage you to go and find out all that you can and do it. You know, it's really not that hard. It's you can build a system with a couple of tubs. And, you know, you can build a little bitty one or a huge one. It doesn't matter. The mechanics are the same regardless of the size. I would just encourage people to just do it and, you know, study up on it, look around before you bust off and spend a whole lot of money on a system. Maybe try a small one first and prove to yourself that you can do it. But that's the cool part about it, is it is doable, it does work, and it's an awesome way to grow food.
I want to say on behalf of all of our listeners, Chad, thanks for being on the call today.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me.